April 29, 1933. One who does the human volition takes earth, and one who does the divine takes heaven. How Jesus knows how to do all the arts. Enjoyment that he takes in the labor. How the creature is the noble princess who descends from the heights of heaven. My abandonment in the divine fiat continues. I feel that it is an extreme necessity for me to live in it, and if I did not do this, I would feel myself lacking the earth under my feet, the sky over my head, the air to breathe, the sun that illuminates and warms me, the food that nourishes me. Therefore, how could I live? And if I lived, what unhappy life would be mine? My God, free me from living one single instant outside of your will. But while I thought this, my always lovable Jesus, making me his brief little visit, told me, "My daughter, to live outside of my divine will is to live without connection to the divine life, separated from heaven, as if one had no friendship, knowledge, or relationship with his celestial Father." One can say that while he knows that he has his Father, yet he does not know him, he lives as far away, and therefore he does not participate in his divine goods. Even more, because every act of human will that he does, he always takes earth, and this he knows and loves. And he participates in the unhappiness that the earthly produces because he goes acquiring with his human acts, such that the human will without the connection with the divine, knows how to produce much earth that sows passions, thorns, sins, and collects miseries, sadnesses, that embitter life. So every act of the human will does nothing other than take a little bit of earth. On the other hand, every act that one does of my will, the creature loses the human terrain and acquires the terrain of heaven. Therefore every act that she goes doing of divine volition, she takes heaven and goes enlarging her celestial properties. And I myself administer to her the seed, and acting as celestial farmer, I sow together with her the most beautiful virtues, and I form there my sojourn, my refuge, my delights. And I find no difference either remaining in heaven together with the saints in the celestial regions, or remaining in the heaven of this creature. Rather, I experience more pleasure in remaining in the heaven of the human will on earth, for the reason that in it I have something to labor in order to be able to increase this heaven even more. Therefore I can make new acquisitions, receive new love. And although the labor is sacrifice, yet it has the virtue of producing new inventions, new beauties, new arts. It is the labor from which the most astonishing things arise, the most high and profound sciences. And I, who understand all the arts, all the sciences, I work in this heaven and I form there the most beautiful works, the most artistic and new inventions, and I communicate the highest and most profound sciences such that now I act as teacher and I teach the most sublime sciences, now craftsman and I form living statues in this heaven, now I act as farmer and my creative hands change, transform, the little terrain of the creature into heaven. I experience so much pleasure to use all the arts and amuse myself, that now I make one work, and now another one. And now I invent new things, and the novelties always bring more pleasure, more enjoyment, more glory. And these terrestrial heavens will also serve as new surprise and contentment for the whole celestial court. Where my divine will reigns as life in the creature, I can do everything. In my hands she becomes prime material in order to develop my divine labors, and to be able to labor is for me the most welcome thing. It is the sweetest rest, it seems that labor and rest alternate with each other. Now in heaven, in my celestial fatherland, there are no labors, neither on my part, nor on the part of creatures. One who enters into these celestial regions puts down her burden and says to herself, "My labor is finished, what I have done is done, nor can I add even one comma more to my labor, to my sanctity." And I cannot make new conquests in their souls, because death says confirmation, nor can they take one step more. Therefore there are no labors in the celestial fatherland, but everything is triumph and glory. I can say that all the display that I do of giving new joys, new happiness and continuous beatitudes, such that I keep all heaven enraptured, is all on my part, because it is not given to me to acquire anything more on their one part. This is why they, too, please me even more, because the conquests, the labors, the enjoyments that I find in these terrestrial heavens of the human volition, cannot be where all is triumph and glory, not even in the regions of my divine fatherland. Therefore be attentive and never go out of my will, and I promise you to never stop my divine labors in your soul. So I continue to think about the great good that the divine will brings to the creature, and my sovereign Jesus added, "My blessed daughter, you must know that so much is our love and ardent desire to have the creature together with us, that no sooner is she created than we assign her the royal place in our divine will, such that each creature has her place of honor in our divine royal palace. Therefore her beginning, her first act of life, as much in eternity as in time, is in our fiat. She was not yet in the world, and we loved her. And cherishing her, not only did we give her the place, but we placed our love, our sanctity, our power, light and beauty as her protege. She is the noble princess who descends from the heights of the heavens in order to pass through the exile. But our volition does not leave her, it descends together with her, it presses itself around her, it passes through the exile together with her, in every act that she does, pain, or joy, or encounter, it places its prime divine act there so that she maintains her nobility and her state of princess. And when it has filled her with all goods, so much that she has no more room for where to place other goods, she rises again to heaven, into the heights of the spheres, and as triumpher she is pointed out to all the celestial court. This is what my divine will wants to do and knows how to do for the creature. But to our sorrow we see that as she descends into the exile, she does not think about her royal place anymore, nor about the nobility of her origin, and she would want to slip away from our will, which more than a tender mother carries her in her arms. And making use of the doors of the senses that we have given her, she descends into the blissness of her human will. These doors we had given her to rise again to us so that she could make her little escapes from the exile into the bosom of her Creator. Instead, she makes use of them to make her little escapes into miseries, into weaknesses, into passions, such that descending from her nobility, she recognizes that she is no longer the princess of heaven, but the servant of the earth. Yet despite this, we do not close our doors, that our love, our paternal goodness, our compassionate mercy, the expectations that we have. And no sooner do we see that she closes her doors in order to come into our will, than we go to meet her, we open wide our doors to her. And seeing her as an uncultivated beauty, with her princess garments torn, dirty, we do not make her one rebuke, but with all paternal compassion we tell her, "Where have you been? Poor daughter, how you have reduced yourself. Have you seen how much evil you have done by living in the blissness of your human will, not united with ours? You have walked without guide, without light, without food, without defense. Therefore do not do it any more, so that amending yourself your aid of the good lost. We know that without our divine will the creature cannot do any good. It is as if she would want to see without eye, walk without feet, live without food. Therefore be attentive and never leave my divine volition if you want to find the strength, the light, the support in your Jesus himself at your disposal. Fiat.